the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in our midst. The following is a quote. In many countries today, moral and ethical norms are being reconsidered. They're now requiring not only the proper acknowledgement of freedom of conscience, of political views, and private life, but also the mandatory acknowledgement of the equality of good and evil. And that is Vladimir Putin, the former KGB thug and Russian president, lecturing the West, especially us, the U.S., on morality. Truly, the world is upside down. He goes on to say, quote, the destruction of traditional values in these countries comes, quote unquote, from the top and is inherently undemocratic because it is based on abstract ideas and runs counter to the will of the majority of the people. So we have the Russian president questioning the democracy of the moral drift of our society. And he is referring to the push upon us, which is indeed true, the push upon us from our own political and cultural elites to accept homosexuality and homosexual marriage as normal and healthy. And we mention this because in the church today, we remember the holy new martyrs and confessors of Russia who were martyred at the hands of the communists. And we stand in solidarity with the Russian Orthodox Church on this day of solemn remembrance of their day of reckoning, of their suffering and martyrdom at the hands of godless communism in the 20th century. And while we're not going to hold up KGB Putin as some beacon of moral standards, it is so sadly, shockingly ironic to be lectured on morality from that source. And it is especially sad because what he is saying is true. It is true that a new morality is being imposed upon us, being pushed on us. And to refuse to embrace this new morality is to be labeled an extremist, a bigot, essentially an unrighteous person by the new measure of righteous correctness. It is not enough to be tolerant of deviancy, to allow people to do as they please, because it was always the case that they accused the Christians of trying to impose our morality on others, that we're trying to force our morality on others, which was never true. We call people to God's word, to God's truth, to God's design for our life, to say that God made us a certain way and not the other way. But they are wanting us not simply to tolerate, to be tolerant, but to celebrate deviancy, to celebrate the mockery of God's word, of God's moral standards, of God's way of life for us. And that it's not something the average Westerner wants, but it's being pushed on us from politicians and judges' decisions, just as Roe versus Wade was imposed on us 41 years ago and 56 million dead babies later. Post-communist Russia itself is still on a long, long road of recovery of its own spiritual and moral bearings after two generations or so of enforced atheism and the fighting against God and the moral and spiritual destruction of the Russian soul. The Russian new martyrs are a reminder to us that not everyone went along with the Soviet program, that these were people who simply wanted to go to church and pray and live their lives. But when it came to it, when the political pressure imposed itself upon them, they resisted, and they indeed resisted with their very lives, many of them, for the sake of Christ and for the sake of Holy Orthodoxy. So it's a reminder that many, many millions indeed were indeed deceived. They became the persecutors of good people, the persecutors of the best of Russian society. They fell for the promise of utopia, of the new Soviet man, of a false promise of universal equality. Equality. Brothers and sisters, it's a caution to us today if we can remember the lesson. When we hear equality and inequality preached by politicians, they're on the same track as the persecutors of our faith in Soviet times. Because to create true societal equality, equality amongst people, heads must roll. Heads must roll. You have to lop off the smartest and the brightest if you want everyone to be equal. And that's what happened in Russia. We say yes to equality of opportunity for all. Equality of opportunity for all. But you can't force equal success. You can't force equal results. Human freedom, the genuinely free human spirit, will invariably produce inequality of outcomes. The natural God-given abilities and talents of some will always be greater than others. That's just reality. That's just human life. And to resist that tendency is to resist human nature. People are uniquely different. That's a tenet of our faith. And to try and make everyone the same is anti-human, even as it sounds noble. Imposed equality and imposed morality are always a recipe for persecution and misery. But it seems the Soviet lesson is already forgotten or does not want to be learned. One of the most important and eye-opening moments in my life occurred in a Soviet nightclub. Let me explain. After my senior year, I was an economics and Russian studies major, which meant studying the Soviet system, especially. There was an opportunity to go to Russia to take a student trip to Russia in the summer. And this was the summer of 1979, as I date myself. And this was still very much in the communist time, Soviet time of Russia. But the following year, the Olympics were supposed to be in Moscow, Summer Olympics in 1980. And so we were on this trip it was a three-week trip. The first week or so, 10 days, was in Russia. And a band of friends and I developed a habit of going looking for churches. And we'd go leave the group, because they tried to keep you in the group, and go and look for churches, open or closed, see what state they were in, to make note of it, take photos. And this was not pleasing the authorities. But in any event, also from Russia, we went to Latvia and Lithuania, since our professor was Latvian. And as part of the Latvian trip, we went to a Baltic Sea resort, up on the Baltic Sea, where we were told that many of the Soviet officials kept summer homes in this Baltic Sea resort in Latvia. And we were invited to a club, young people's club, our college group was invited to this young people's club, and we quickly discovered that first of all, when we got to this large house where this nightclub was, it was surrounded by plainclothes security. I mean, literally roped with like 20 guys, security guys around it. And sort of quickly were ushered in and sat down, and what unfolded was very interesting. It was a presentation of the latest disco music, a fashion show of various cocktail dresses that women might wear in America, and quiche was served. Quiche, if you remember those days, quiche was popular at one time. So we got quiche. So here we And then we realize, well, with all these young people who are the children of the elite, the children of the Soviet bigwigs, and we didn't like it. We felt we had been seeing the fruits of communism, the effects of the evil, for the past several days, firsthand. And now here we are hobnobbing with this. And what dawned on me is the things that we could have as middle-class, ordinary American kids, the disco, the clothes we wanted to wear, the food we wanted to eat, that for these elites to have that, everybody else had to be equally miserable. People had to die. Churches had to be desecrated. Things had to be ruined in a society so that a handful of brats could have what we took for granted, because here in America, our inequality leads to everybody being better off. And so that was a revelation. And then there was one more that came after that, which was a concentration camp in Latvia. It was a Nazi concentration camp, and the museum, it was made into a museum, and the part of it was the selling point was the fact that the Nazi concentration camp was liberated by the communists, by the Soviets. And that's what their guide was telling us. But then when you look in the museum wall, you see that this, and they said, when they got there, the Nazis had destroyed the camp. They were just left in ruins. But then you see photos in the museum of the camp still standing when the Russian soldiers came in. And Hitler used the camp for several years, and then Stalin continued to use the same camp thereafter. One evil replacing another, one elite of people who want to control others' people's lives taking over another. And so it's all it is. And so whatever package it's sold on, it's a small group wanting to control everyone else. It's people wanting to live a certain level because they know better, and everyone else to be equally miserable in the name of equality. So that's what I learned at a Soviet nightclub and on my trip to Russia. This was equality achieved at such a horrible price. At such a horrible price. One evil, and then at the concentration camp, one evil with a different label on it, communism instead of Nazism, one evil substituting for another. Later, I would return as a priest and serve in the St. Alexander Nevsky Lavra in St. Petersburg, and later and learn that the priest that was there at the communist revolution, Father Pyotr Skipetrov, was shot on the steps of the cathedral in his vestments by the communists and killed. And so you walk, and we literally were walking in the bloody footsteps of the martyrs when we went there, and in both trips. So this that trip changed my course of my life, and I went to seminary probably right after that in the fall. And so that's something to keep in mind. But we want to remember today, in the bright light of truth, the noble witness and faithfulness of the new martyrs, of the Tsar Nicholas, of the Tsar Rina Alexandra, of their children Olga, Tatiana, Maria, Anastasia, and Alexis, of the Saint Elizabeth, the Grand Duchess, and martyred nun Barbara, of the first martyred hierarch, Saint Vladimir of Kiev, Saint Benjamin of Saint Petersburg, and all those hundreds of bishops and thousands of priests and millions of lay people who went to their death confessing Christ, holding to Holy Orthodoxy, confirming the truth, and may their witness and their steadfastness be an example to us and encouragement to us, because things that may seem like ancient history and that was about them cannot necessarily always be just about someone else, but can indeed come to our own doorstep. Through the prayers of the holy new martyrs and confessors of Russia, may our Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.